In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory to thee, O God, glory to thee, O heavenly King, Comforter, the Spirit of truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things, treasury of good things and giver of life, come and abide in us and cleanse us from every impurity and save our souls, O gracious Lord, through the prayers of the Mother of God, the Holy Theotokos, Saint Peter, the Apostle, the patron and protector of this holy community and of all the saints. Have mercy on us and save us, for as much as he is good and loveth mankind. Amen. Through the prayers of our holy fathers, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. We are, after the others will join us, we will be 93 registrations, 93. Thank God. Someone told me today that we might need like a bigger place than this. We'll see. If we find a better place than this, we go there. So as I said in the chapel, that the topic is very interesting, and the topic is the saints of Antioch, the past, the present, and the future. It is almost impossible to account for all those Orthodox Christians who have been raised from the earthly community in Antioch to the heavens, let alone to describe all the deeds and miracles they have performed. However, we as Antiochian Christians are called upon to devote the years of our laborious lives to the accommodation, of hagiographic materials so that we may come to know our saints and in the turn may, and in turn, make them known to the faithful of our archdiocese. Evidence of a wide and constantly increasing interest in this topic, both at the Antiochian Patriarchate and at other patriarchates through hagiography, will encourage us to undertake this task, which has been the ambition of only a few of churchmen and researchers for many years. My aim as the Metropolitan of this Archdiocese is to stimulate an interest among clergy and laity alike in learning and emulating the lives of the many Antiochian saints. When we consider the lives of the Antiochian saints specifically, we see that they all share a common thread, a devotion to God, which we call holiness. Holiness means to be set apart. It is opposite from the profane, meaning that which is defiled or set apart from God. Antioch has proven to be a most creative and fertile field of holiness, and from it, pastoral care flourished through the centuries. Antioch has produced a myriad of saints who were writers and theologians with deep spiritual insights. Many prominent saints appeared throughout Antiochian church history, as we recall the names and lives of Saint Ignatius, Saint Theophilus, Saint Melchion or Melchion, Saint John Chrysostom, Saint John of Damascus, Saint Romanos the Melodist, Saint Ephraim the Syrian, Saint Isaac the Syrian, Saint Andrew, Bishop of Crete, Saint Sophronius, Patriarch of Jerusalem, Saint Joseph the Damascene, Saint Maximus the Confessor, Saint Simeon the Stylite, Saint Julian of Homs, to name a few. All these are Antiochian. Huh? Today, 6. So Saint Julian of Homs, to name a few. The saints' chief contributions to Orthodox spirituality, biblical interpretation, and patristic literature were undoubtedly unparalleled. The result has been a continuous stream of important beneficial writings and literature for many centuries. Let us consider how important a role hagiography played in the lives of the people, how prominently the names of some of the most distinguished martyrs and champions of faith are exhibited in the Synaxarion, in particular in the Antiochian manuscripts. When I first became acquainted with some of the lesser known Antiochian saints, I inquired about any materials that might be available for further study through archives, etc. I was disappointed to learn how little was available at the Patriarchate or in any of the monasteries. This lack of resources inspired the late Patriarch Ignatius of thrice blessed memory to launch a project cataloging and scanning the few remaining manuscripts which had been neglected and abandoned. My personal interest in this area has naturally led me to devote this seminar to procuring information on subjects connected with holiness in Antiochian Christianity. The lives of these saints will prove serviceable for the illustration of the history and the theology of the Patriarchate of Antioch. It will be valuable to us to learn and edify ourselves about these saints whose Synaxarion has been precious and priceless in teaching about and recording these lives. That which God makes holy, man often defiles through acts of blasphemy. Where God has placed the saints in their holiness, the evil one appears to force them to abandon God through enticements and threats, often including violence, which many of those saints patiently endured until death. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, St. Paul, the co-founder of the Church of Antioch, said, I quote, "I urge you then to be imitators of me," end of quote. Paul is asking the Corinthians to be imitators of him in enduring many hardships from unbelievers and in humbling themselves as he humbled himself. It is because Paul imitates Christ in this example that he encourages the Corinthians to imitate him as an intermediate model. In portraying an image of a new humanity, the saints stand as an exact marker towards the salvation of our congregations. If our parishioners imitate the saints as the saints imitated Christ, then our faithful will be imitating Christ himself. If they are imitating God, why should they not then imitate the saints? Saint Basil the Great said, I quote, if indeed the goal of Christianity is the imitation of Christ, according to the measure of his incarnation, insofar as is conformable with the vocation of each individual, they who are entrusted with the guidance of many others are obliged to animate those still weaker than themselves by their assistance to the imitation of Christ. End of quote. The imitation of Christ and of his saints calls on us to die each day. Saint Paul rejoiced in his suffering, knowing the glorious result of suffering in achieving holiness. In the lives of the saints are revealed both the magnitude of the problem and the temptation they faced, as well as the greatness and promise of God's providential care. Being a persecuted church, Antioch has experienced violent mistreatment, but has, as a result, produced a myriad of martyrs from ancient times to today. Throughout the history of the church, we have heard and seen persecutions carried out on many levels, and the saints having been tested in unthinkable ways. Churches have been plundered, burned, desecrated, and our people tortured, harmed, and defiled, ultimately paying for their faith with the final sacrifice, their lives. Now we ask ourselves, how can we imitate the lives of the saints? The world we live in today, particularly the Western world, is unfamiliar with this concept of suffering. It is strange and foreign. However, we realize that there is a very real spiritual and moral warfare against Christianity, as well as an increasing contempt for man in the secular world. According to Saint Paisios, the quote, I quote, sin has become the trend of our age. End of the quote. Orthodox Christianity believes that man is called to God and for those whom he has chosen to be holy. He offers the path of repentance. When faced with persecution, man fights temptations through his repentance before God, rather than demanding obedience to the law as the objective or goal. Obedience becomes the path which is followed in order to achieve true repentance and the mercy of God. True humanity is dynamic and lively. We stumble, rise, and fall again. Finally, we are healed. We learn about God's law not by adhering to rigidity, but through healing and experiencing his presence in our hearts, which then in turn inspires in us compassion for others. Christians must fight the temptation to be self-righteous. If we are holy, then our holiness will be revealed in our desire to struggle and repent of our own sins. We must greet everyone we meet with eyes that see Christ in them, inspiring others in love. Love, as lived by the saints, is the true sign of holiness. So this is the introduction to the subject. In know, we are serious as as we did in the past and we continue to do. Our ministry is not like to do it like repetitively. Our ministry is to live it. It's alive, dynamic. So I told you many times and I say it again. When we are behind the altar, nothing matters anymore. Nothing matters. You know, like sometimes, you know, like I see some clergy, you know, like they look at the censer all the time, or they look from the royal doors at the people outside. No, our eyes, they're in the book. Our eyes in the icon. We don't see people in the church. So if you, like, just like do it the right way, censer is important, like to come on time. We can ask someone like to prepare the censer, you know, ahead of time. But the priest like to be engaged with the censer all the time, it's not right. I do Orthros every day in the archdiocese. And I am the priest, I do the priest job there. And I have one cantor. I come like 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes ahead of time and I prepare the censer. This is an honor, like, to do it. I don't wait until, like, some kid, you know, like, to do it for me or whatever. So we can prepare everything ahead of time, 5 minutes, you know, like, 5 minutes earlier in order to focus on what we are doing. The most important thing is, like, the prayer is not, like, to do it just, like, from the lips. A few weeks ago, if you remember, Saint Gregory, correct me, of Nyssa, you remember? He died while he was serving the Divine Liturgy, you remember that? The Synaxarium we were reading. And so he died. And I said to many churches, you know, like where I am serving, this is my wish also. Like while I am serving behind the altar at that moment. Goodbye. This is the most beautiful moment, you know, like. So beloved in Christ, that's why we are here in a seminar a year after a year. You make every effort to come here. I make every effort to come here. He makes every effort to come here. So that's why, you know, like we need this moment. We need this time together. Now I leave you with Father Michel to introduce to you and tells you about the speakers because they know each other very well. And I ask Father Michel to do that.